President Trump's announcement last week that he would withdraw from the Paris Agreement was not unexpected. After all, it was a campaign promise. In the days leading up to the announcement, we here at Living Lab Radio turned to a range of experts and activists to get their take on what this action means. Well, let's start with John Holdren. He was director of the Office of Science and Technology Policy and President Obama's top science advisor for 8 years. He described withdrawing from Paris as unfortunate, and I asked him to clarify.
On a 10-point scale from, like, panacea to catastrophic, unfortunate to me sounds like it's somewhere in the, like, the 4-ish range.
No,
it's somewhere
in
the middle.
I actually think it's an 8 or a 9 on your 10-point scale in terms of how bad could things be. Because it is so perverse, not only in its influence on the trajectory of U.S. emissions reductions and therefore the U.S. contribution to a global approach to limiting the damage from climate change, but because of its symbolic effect of saying the United States is retreating from science, the United States is retreating from evidence, the United States is retreating from solemn commitments made jointly with 194 other countries to address a global challenge which virtually every government in the world accepts as real and as caused by human activity. The only major political party in power in any major country in the world that questions whether humans are responsible for the damaging changes in climate that are going on now, not just future changes, but the ones that are already going on. The only major political party in power that disputes this reality, as far as I know, is the United States leadership, the Republican leadership in the White House, in the Senate, and in the House of Representatives.
Earlier in May, President Trump heard from 22 GOP senators who urged him to leave the Paris Agreement. But not all Republicans share that view. There were 3 GOP senators who spoke out in favor of the agreement, and the 2 conservative climate activists that we spoke with had some of the strongest criticisms of the Trump administration's climate policies. Mitch Hescox leads the Evangelical Environmental Network.
You know, we're the people, my community, evangelicals, are largely responsible for President Trump being in office. And a very large segment of my community is saying, you know, whether it's cutting methane regulations or air quality standards or even trying to scale down national monuments, these are all things that affect our lives, our quality of life. They are issues that we are deeply concerned about, and I hope he listens to us.
Obviously, with regard to the Paris Agreement, Hescox's 3 million climate activists are not who President Trump was listening to. And Hescox has some strong words to describe the impact of walking back from commitments to reducing greenhouse gas emissions.
President Trump is condemning millions of God's children around the world to terrible lives as they suffer the impacts of climate change, including many in our own nation who suffer from increased asthma, the spread of vector-borne diseases, and just the costs that are associated with sea level rise and other things.
Bob Inglis is a former GOP representative from South Carolina and founder of the group Republic ENs. That group goes by the tagline Energy Optimists, Climate Realists. He has nothing good to say about the Trump administration's climate policies, but he had an upbeat take on things.
It's a pretty exciting time for us conservatives who want free enterprise answers to climate change because we think that he really is making himself the face of climate hoaxerism, and that could be very helpful to this effort because when he leaves, like I say, I think he's going to take climate hoaxerism with him.
In the meantime, President Trump says that withdrawing from the Paris Agreement will be good for the economy, but some representatives of the business community refute that idea. Mindy Luber is president of Ceres, a Boston-based nonprofit that works with corporations on sustainability and climate policy.
It is not a good thing to pull out of this agreement. It is not a good thing to defund every climate change program at the Environmental Protection Agency or the Department of Energy or any of the other dozens of government programs. They are important to moving us forward. So this administration is a setback for taking on one of the most important issues of our lifetime. There's no question we are losing some ground because of what they've done already in 4 months. Pulling out of the Paris Agreement is one more step in slowing us down.
But Luber says there is still momentum in the shift toward a lower carbon economy, momentum that began before the Paris Agreement and will continue with the U.S. out of it. Tim Healy is part of that shift. He runs a Boston-based energy software company, Enernoc. He is a self-identified Massachusetts Republican who disagrees strongly with the decision to withdraw from Paris. But he says the global business community will continue moving toward a cleaner energy system.
They're marching down a path of clean energy. They're marching down a path of, you know, renewables, of corporate strategies that deal with the reality that renewables are now basically on par with fossil fuels. They're dealing with the reality that their workforce wants their corporations to stand for, you know, the values that are aligned with that workforce, particularly the millennial workforce that believes that, you know, the values of the companies that they work for are almost as important or even more important than, you know, their compensation and benefits. It's extremely important to them, and it's extremely important to consumers today, what businesses stand for and how their sustainability policies match up with, you know, the world around us. And so at the end of the day, I don't think that this is going to change the behavior of businesses. It's not going to change the behavior of Wall Street. You know, Wall Street knows that there is money to be made in a clean energy economy. And, you know, that's, you know, follow the dollars. And at the end of the day, the dollars are going to continue to go where there is a global economic opportunity.
Everyone we spoke with agreed that withdrawing from the Paris Agreement puts the onus for climate policy and climate action on states and local governments. Massachusetts has been a leader in this area. Governor Charlie Baker has not made it a signature issue for his administration, but he did write to President Trump urging him to stay in the Paris Agreement. Our inquiries suggest the vast majority of Massachusetts legislators support clean energy policies. And Jack Clark, Mass Audubon's Director of Public Policy and Government Relations, says they're continuing to push for even more ambitious climate policies.
The so-called renewable portfolio standard under state law says at least 1% of all electricity produced in Massachusetts has to be from a green source, like wind or solar. We'd like to double that, and that needs to continue to increase until we arrive at a carbon-free economy.
Plenty of work yet to do, as Clark says, to arrive at a carbon-free economy. Later this hour, we'll get a climate science fact check on President Trump's withdrawal announcement speech and talk about where our climate stands, where it's headed, and what realistic paths forward might look like. Stay with us. Living Lab continues after a short break.